Shabbat Shalom.
Yeah, thank you so much. So good to be here in this place, and today's beautiful evening and beautiful Shabbat, day of rest. I would like to speak today about very familiar place of scripture, but before I want to read it from Genesis chapter 22, can we open it please together? And I would like to ask you to follow me in the scripture. So if I will read something different, it's my English, it's not your scriptures or something. So let's go together. I like when we read together. So Genesis chapter 22 from the verse 17 and verse 18. And this is probably the most famous words in the scriptures. Words of blessing upon Abraham. The Lord is, he is blessing Abraham. I will richly bless you and bountifully multiply your seed like the stars of heaven and like the sand that is on the seashore. And your seed will possess the gate of his enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you obeyed my voice. Let's say together, obeyed my voice. And of course, we know this place of scripture, verse 18, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And we know who is the seed, Yeshua. In Yeshua, all the families, all the nations of the earth are blessed. And the question we face today is this: who would like to hear the same words from the Lord? I will bless you. I will be with you. I would like to hear this voice. It's my goal to hear from him. And today I would like to speak about, to talk about an important topic that is obvious and very important to consider in our lives. How our values influence our lives. It's so important to know. So important. And thank you, Brian, for your message on Bar Mitzvah, because it was so deep, so interesting. And one of the thoughts you gave last week, it was difference in values between this world, worldly values, and between spiritual, biblical values in our lives. So, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart, they will your heart be also. Where your treasure, your heart be the same place. So let's consider two lives, two choices, two consequences. Let's speak about Abraham and his nephew Lot, two people. First of all, both were righteous men, both of them. We can read in Peter, Apostle Peter said that Lot, he was righteous. It's very clear in the scriptures. Both lived in the same area at the same time, together. They were called, they traveled together, everywhere. Third, both were wealthy men and very blessed. It was obvious for everyone they were blessed together. So I want to emphasize that these people of God had the same environment, the same opportunities, and the same freedom to choose the direction of their lives. Equal. Abraham and Lot, blessed by the Lord, lived together, traveled together, the Lord with them. So there were godly people, godly men. And despite of that, Abraham was blessed by God because he decided to choose the Lord's way. He was blessed by the Lord. However, Lot made a poor decision and no longer enjoyed God's favor upon him. And we know this story, so we will read it. I would like to quote from a well-known author, John Maxwell, and this is actually very interesting for me. There are two paths people can take. They can either play now and pay later, or pay now and play later. Regardless of the choice, one thing is certain: life will demand a payment. Of course. Let's read from the Genesis chapter 13, from the verse 5. And this is the story about their choice, choice of Abraham and choice of Lot. So Genesis chapter 13, from the verse 5. Now Lot, who was going with Abram, so it's interesting here, who was going with Abram? So scripture is very clear to us. It's not somebody else, it's the same Lot who was going with Abram, Abram's nephew. Also had sheep and cattle and tents, so that the land could not support them living together, because their possessions were many, and they were not able to stay together. So there was a quarrel between the shepherds of Abram's livestock and the shepherds of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanites and the Perizzites were living in the land then. So verse 8. So Abram said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between me and you, or between my shepherds and yours, since we are relatives. Isn't the whole land before you? Please separate yourself from me. If to the left, then I'll go to the right. And if to the right, then I'll go to the left." Verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the whole area surrounding the Jordan was well watered and in its entirety, before Adonai destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like Adonai's garden, like the land of Egypt, till you come to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself the whole area surrounding the Jordan. Lot journeyed to the east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the valley. And he moved his tent from place to place near Sodom. But the people of Sodom were evil, very great sinners against Adonai. The very interesting place here. So Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw that whole area was like garden, Adonai's garden. Watered, beautiful, a lot of food, a lot of everything there. So there is contention between them. Their property and wealth were so great that there was no enough space for both of them. They were very rich, a lot of stuff, a lot of everything, a lot of wealth. Each of them was able to say, "God is with me because he blessed me with everything." It was obvious for them. They were blessed. Each one of them can say, "The Lord is with me," because the Lord was with them. When the separation between Abraham and Lot occurred, Lot supposed it was his right to make a choice that would work to his own best advantage. So he decided on what seemed to be obvious best choice. He looked carefully and he chose the best land for himself. And I want to emphasize here, he don't think about Abraham there at all. He thought about himself, about his property, about his wealth. And he chose the best land, the best place, good grass, water it there. At that moment, Lot completely forgot about his own uncle Abraham, about how Abraham was an older relative. He forgot that when he was the new kid on the block, Abraham was in charge. He was led by the Lord, and Lot was with him. It was Abraham who had given him a start in life so that he also became a wealthy man. Abraham was in charge. He was leader of this group. So Lot forget about it. So, and one of the reasons, we can find many reasons why Lot chose to go to Sodom. One of them, it was because he would like to settle his life, probably, because he traveled a lot, and he moved a lot. Who moved a lot in his life? I know that, yeah. How many times? 40? 44 times. You like Abraham almost. Can you imagine whole life going somewhere? Whole life going somewhere. So probably one of the reasons Lot was tired from doing it. Also, I believe he would like to have peace and he would like to be secure. And you know, in the ancient times, the city, it was the secure place. Walls in the city walls. And also, one of the reasons, I think, it's my opinion, he chose to prosper and multiply his wealth. It was his decision. He decided to go in the best place, to be richer, to get more wealth to himself. It seemed a reasonable choice, but it completely ignored the will of the Lord and the Lord's purpose on his life, for his life. Instead, it took Lot to Sodom. And I want to read the verse 13 again. And of course, nothing wrong to work hard and to gain wealth. It's good thing. Please don't think about this way, wrong way. But we can read verse 13. And this is the explanation for us. And the men of Sodom were evil and very sinful before the Lord. One small, simple verse here and explain everything here. I have two questions. First, did Lot know that inhabitants of Sodom were corrupt? What do you think? And the second question, if he knew that, why did he choose to go there? I believe he knows about it. It was obvious. They were sinners. It was not mystery. They were in war against the Lord. But in spite of that, of this knowledge, he still made the decision to go that way. He compromised spiritual values for greater prosperity. I think he was unable at that moment to make the right decision. Therefore, he chose a direction that destroyed his life totally. And this is very important to know. He lost his life. He lost his family. He lost his hopes for the future. He lost everything. Everything. I bet he don't know about it before. How important to make the right choice here. How important to think properly, to be in a good position before the Lord. Because he lost everything. So good beginning, but very, very poor end in his life. In my opinion, Lot overestimated his ability to resist the evil of Sodom. The desire to increase his wealth prevailed over his own common sense. He was spiritually deceived. He was spiritually deceived, I believe. And we need to remember, he was a righteous man. Let's say together, he was a righteous man. It's not that he went there to do the sin or, you know, to be sinful or to be the same as people of Sodom. No, he was righteous. But something going wrong in his spiritual life. He made wrong choice. And actually, it led him to destruction. And also, it's my opinion. I just want to share with you. I believe that Lot was successful for a time. There. He was successful. He was a good businessman. He had a lot of everything, a lot of wealth, much wealth. He was rich and probably very popular in Sodom, and probably his business skyrocketed immediately. Good land, good people, I mean, everything there. And let's remember, he called righteous man, so he was righteous in his heart. And let's look at Abraham's choice. On the other hand, Abraham decided to be humble before the Lord, and not only before the Lord, but also before his nephew, before Lot. Abraham humbled himself. He decided to be humble. And so he kept peace with his nephew, and he stayed in the wilderness with no immediate reward. nothing changed in his life. He stayed in the wilderness. Can you imagine? Lot gained everything, and Abraham was humble before the Lord. He stayed in the wilderness. He preserved peace of heart and righteousness of soul, and as a result, he was able to hear the voice of the Lord and to know God's direction for his life. Immediately after their separation, the Lord starts speaking to Abraham. And the beautiful words in Genesis chapter 13. After Lot separated himself from him, Adonai had said to Abram, "Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are to the north, south, east, and west. For all the land that you are looking at, I will give to you and to your seed forever." Do you see difference between Lot and Abraham? Their motivation, their motives. The Lord himself comforted Abraham, and it's so good to read it here, because Lot gained everything, but he lost everything. Abraham sacrificed everything, but he gained everything. His end was beautiful. So let's look at the difference between Abraham and Lot very briefly. I don't want to go deeply here. And let's remember, they were righteous people. Let's say together, they were righteous people. Please remember about it. It doesn't speak about sinful people. It speaks about us here. We are believers. We are righteous people before the Lord. And this is the example for each one of us here. So, what was the difference? And I want to mention only a few of them. First of all, Abraham had the long view. He understood that the best was yet to come, but that he had to wait for it. And we read in the following scripture in the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. By faith, he migrated to the land of promise as if it were foreign, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was waiting for the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Can you imagine? So he was walking in the land, promised land, and it was his land. Actually, it was his land. The Lord already promised to him. But he was completely different mind. He's looking for city from the Lord, from God. And he was friend of God, you know? So good. It was so beautiful. In contrast, Lot had a limited vision. He was interested in the now, in the immediate. The land of Sodom used to be like the Garden of Eden. And this is why he compromised his spiritual future. Because here, you can take it. It's beautiful. You can have profit from it. But the verse 13, don't forget about it. People were so evil and so sinful. So do not go there. Do not bind with them. Do not try to make business with them. They're very evil. Spiritual evil. So, what was the result of the choices of Abraham and Lot? First, Lot chose the best and lost everything. God's blessing, God's protection, his own wife and family, his possessions, his honor, his entire future. We know he lost everything. Abraham chose a humble spirit and accepted the desert, where he gained everything. A visit from Yeshua himself. You remember in the chapter 18 when the Lord came to Abraham. It's so good, so good. And he ate with Abraham. Lord ate with Abraham. Lord himself. And actually we know that who came to Abraham. In the John chapter 8 from the verse 56, I want to read it. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Yeshua speaking about himself. He saw it and was thrilled. Then the Judeans said to him, "You are not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham." Yeshua answered, "Amen, amen, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." Wow. Genesis chapter 18, if you read carefully, you will see Yeshua coming to Abraham. And Yeshua gave promise to Abraham that he will receive son, Isaac. And he rejoiced there. It was beautiful. And the greatest consequence of Abraham's choice was birth of Mashiach and keen for the redemption of all mankind. Because Abraham was obedient to the Lord. Through him, through his seed, Mashiach has come to this world. So how does it apply for us today? Or it's maybe only about Lot. What do you think? We are different. Or it's also applicable to us. What do you think? I believe it's applicable to us. Faithfulness is expressed in the right decisions, obedience to God's word, life that pleases the Lord. And because of his faithfulness and his correct values, Abraham heard the most beautiful words. I will richly bless you and bountifully multiply your seed. And the rest of the verse 18. All the nations of the earth will be blessed because you obeyed my voice. Let's say it together, because you obeyed my voice. So, what's the point here? I believe we are sons of Abraham. We are sons, we are believers, we believe in the Lord. And I think he was looking for heavenly city, for heavenly Jerusalem. And I believe the Lord is talking, speaking to our hearts. He trying to take our attention. Please, we need to think about future, about heavenly things. This is so important for us, the heavenly values in our life, to be careful, to pay attention, to look forward, to look forward. So good. Our future, our hope, not on this earth, but in the kingdom of God. Everything will disappear here, but our future in the kingdom of God. Amen. I must remind all of us that we have one life, one youth, and the most precious thing we have is time. Only one life. Only cat has seven lives, you know. We have only one. And we should be very careful with it. It's for the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And I want to read it here and we come to an end of my message. Rabbi Shaul, he's trying to give us the same idea, the same thought. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Life for the Lord. In his will, in his goals, in his values. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's say together, perfect. Yeah. I don't think the will of God for Lot was to lose everything. I don't think so. I think it was his choice against the will of God. In the same time in our life, present your bodies to be as a living sacrifice, to choose what is the good for the Lord, and it will be good for you, for your future. Maybe it's not profitable today. Maybe it's not so good. It's not so good grass. Somebody may be in the wilderness and, you know, not so easy way to go, but end is great. End is great. So in the closing, I want to share with you with few thoughts about how to choose right choices, how to make the right choice. And I just put few of them, five steps, very simple from this place of scripture. First, keep your heart and mind clean. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. From what? From offense, from conflicts, from envy, from greed, from every impure things in your heart. A person who is guided by his lust or inner wounds will not be able to make right choice. Amen. It's impossible. Second step, very easy. Be in the body of Messiah. And Hebrews chapter 10, 25, very simple here. Let us not leave our assembly. Let's say together, not leave our assembly. Very simple. Be there. Be in the body of Messiah. Third step, very simple. Be humble enough to seek wise counsel. I know that we very wise people here. And two Jews, three opinions, of course. And it's normal. This is why we should have counsel with each other. We should ask for opinion with each other and prayfully. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Plans fail when there is no counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Simple and strong. I believe Lot should be more humble. He should ask advice from Abraham. It was his part, but he did not do that. I believe there is great joy for a person when he has good and godly friends, supportive friends, but friends who will also convict and correct when correction is needed. It's so important. Friends are not people who always say, I'm with you, you're good. Friends are the people who will say, not your own. Don't go there. People are very evil there. Verse 13. Don't forget about it. So fourth, very simple also step. Look for wisdom in the scriptures. There is plenty to be found there. A lot of wisdom there. If your wisdom from the scriptures, you will be blessed and succeed. And the fifth step. Look for the face of God in prayer. Do not be guided by the eyes. Never. Every time pray. If you have some deal or proposal in business or anything, and if it seems so good for you, like good grass, everything so perfect, the best way is to stop, to pray, to seek the Lord, to ask for guidance. To ask your brother, what do you think about it? Maybe he will see something. Maybe Lord will show you something. Because if you are impulsive, like Lot, you see? Oh, good grass, I will go there. I don't know about you, probably you're different than me, but so many times I would like to take my watch and just, you know, back. And start again. And so many times when I did something wrong, I told myself, I knew something wrong here. I felt in my spirit. You know the prayer of young men who want to get married? Lord, let will be yours and the girl will be mine. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. I like the prayer of Yeshua. He said, I don't want that, but Lord, let your will be, not mine. So I want to stop here, and I believe you receive something because it's so simple, but so important for us. So simple, the idea that Lot was righteous man. He was righteous man. He was torn apart in his heart. During the time in Sodom, he was not glad in his life. He made the wrong choice without prayer, without counsel, without humbleness. He went to, for him, good place, but it was evil place for him. And he lost his calling in his life. So be careful about it. Be prayerful. Ask for advice. Look for God's face. And I believe in Yeshua we have second chance also. He is very merciful to us. And if we did wrong choice or something, He's always for us, to forgive us, to bless us, and to help us go and move on. So let's stand together and let's finish with prayer. Avinu Shebashamayim, our Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy, Lord, for your mercies for each one of us, Lord. Thank you for joy of your presence, for your love, Lord. Lord, we are human, Lord. We need your presence, Lord. We don't have wisdom, Lord. We need your wisdom, Lord. Please help us to see you and help us to follow you, Lord. Help us to see your face and always, always, always to look for your counsel in our life, Lord. Thank you so much for your righteousness, for your mercy, for your love to all of us. Lord, we want to follow you, and please forgive us for everything we accomplish without you, Lord. For every step without you, Lord, please forgive us and help us to be close to you, Lord, as Abraham was. Thank you so much. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. So let's close with Aaronic benediction with a prayer. Yeverecha Adonai veishmerecha Yaher Adonai panavelecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace, his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Shabbat Shalom.